Action Shop.
12 minutes after 8, Mr. X, Community Activist, is in the studio here. We just wanted to talk a little bit about the climate change lawsuit, which was dismissed last week. And Mr. X, that had to do with, it was all the kids, right? It was the children lawsuit, essentially suing the federal government, saying, you're killing us. You're killing our life. And we can't do anything about it. And so we're going to sue you because you're going to keep us from being able to live. That's right. Essentially what they did, right?
Exactly. And why it's so important, Bill, is I equate it to being a very strong foundation for the HB 2020 or any other resulting legislation that they're trying to push forward. They needed that there to try to push forward, because it's easiest to understand if I just take you to the actual quote from the decision. The panel reluctantly concluded that the plaintiff's case must be made to the political branches or to the electorate at large, the opinion says, end quote. And that's from an article on, you know, what that said. The actual opinion, the actual release by the court is 64 pages.
Yeah, and we're not going to go over all that. We can't do that.
We don't have any time to do that. But the reality is, for the people out there, look it up. Listen to it. Read it. I mean, listen and think and read and understand what they're actually doing, because this case was brought by children, okay? Now, think about that.
Well, adults directing children, really.
Adults directing children. Now, you equate that to Greta from, you know, the one who's made the news lately over there giving her opinion. All of these things are children, how to say, just repositioning their lives, saying they have no future. In 12 years, it's over. The reality is, I've heard the story before. I look at this and I say, well, what are the step-by-step things that they're doing? Because it's part of an agenda. Now, Dennis Linthicum sent out a newsletter. He's got some very good things. If anybody gets that or if people get it, try to read it. It talks about some of the connections that they're doing. But basically, it's all agenda-based things. And what I try to do is separate that out, excuse me, for people that have, you know, when you look at this, this is our future. This is your children's future. If you allow these people, okay, to take over your children's future, if you think you're doing good by accepting this, you're wrong. But the reality comes down to is, what do you do? You know, well, we have to learn. We have to understand our position. We have to move with understanding to a point that we can relate and take our children on a different journey to show them that this is wrong. Okay.
Now, I assure you that 10, 12 years, the earth will still be existing. In fact, 20 or 30, it'll still be existing too, and we'll be just fine.
You know,
unless we, of course, we are going through a really serious solar minimum, which could be making us colder, but you know, then they'd say, hey, we got to do something about that still.
I look at it and, okay, the earth could end at any moment like it did for the dinosaurs. Okay, what was it? The general understanding is an asteroid strike clouded up the atmosphere, cooled the earth, destroyed vegetation.
Yeah, you think global warming is bad. Just wait until you get global cooling, kids. All right.
The thing is that all we have to do is look at what is coming at us. Why are they going to the children? Because the children don't have standing, and that's what primarily the decision from the court came down.
They have no real skin in the game. They also can't prove damage.
Now,
they just can't.
Does the state of Oregon have any standing if they're relying on their case being presented to children? No, they have no standing. Now, the reality to it is they have goals, and those goals are to reduce CO2 emissions. So you look at that whole process and you say, if your goal is to reduce CO2 emissions and you want to penalize me, literally just penalize the average citizen for living, that's where I start to take really strong offense to this.
Okay, we're going to play some of what Senator Herman Bertschiger said yesterday on 5 on 5 with Craig Smullen. And he was talking about, this is a criticism of the carbon cap and trade, which is continuing to being pushed.
And this is something people can go to and see right
really
now.
It's really between the lobbyists and the big corporations and the majority party of who gets carved out. So the more the big corporations get carved out, it pushes the burden onto anybody that has a vehicle, anybody that heats their home with natural gas or electricity. And that's where the burden is. That's where all the money's going to come from. It seems to always trickle down to the hardworking people. They're the ones that always seem to bear the burden of these policies. The corporations, they either pass it on or they're carved out. And I think that people will be surprised how much this will cost. And
okay, now next, Craig Smullen
right.
ends up weighing in with the interesting use of the term consensus.
Right.
Right? Listen
right.
closely.
The scientific consensus is that humans are causing climate change. If Oregon is,
says
really,
who?
When you look at a map, as I know you have, well, it's a red state with pockets of blue.
It's more
and the overwhelming numbers are in those pockets. Mm-hmm. So in your preferences to go to the ballot to let the people vote on this, is it possible to ever see this go your way? Do you think that could happen?
You know, I don't know. I just don't know. It probably depends on how the advertising for the different positions will be, you know, and how people receive that. You know, you say the consensus is, well, what's consensus? So if you have 100 people and 51 of them say the sky is blue and 49 say it's light blue, does that mean that the sky is light blue or the sky is dark blue just because the consensus is 51 to 49? So I don't know.
Well, by that, I think I don't have a number specifically in mind, sure. But I don't think that's what I'm saying. I think it's a much higher number.
I would say the media consensus, the well. Media science, the media scientist consensus is that it's all human caused. Well, it's interesting when the Earth puts out more CO2, that's natural. That doesn't cause climate change. It's only when humans exist well, in the process.
I take it to a different direction.
Sure.
Okay. Because through the studies that I've done, I realize and know for a fact that the term consensus is an actual legalized term. Okay,
and
it's
addressed statutorily. Do most people actually use consensus as it is addressed statutorily, or are we just thinking, a bunch of people agree?
Anything with regards to trying to penalize you is to get you to agree that you're doing something wrong before they have the ability to take it forward.
Okay.
So they argue they have consensus. Well, their consensus is a predetermined outcome, political action that is done through processes that are actually governed statutorily. So
very much like those Delphi controls,
exactly.
Delphi process
exactly.
meetings that we all go to in which everyone has it predetermined that, we're going to do carbon cap and trade. Legislation, right?
That's what we have to discern. We have to look at this and say, wait a minute now. When you talk about the consensus of scientists, I've read hundreds of reports from scientists that aren't being supported by the money flow, the cash stream that comes into these groups that support the predetermined outcome. And you have all kinds of deviation from the belief that this is what we have to do, okay? And
well, the other aspect of it,
part of it,
even if scientists did, even if there was a true consensus and all the scientists said that this was the case, they're still not the people in charge.
That's exactly
we
right.
We are the people in charge.
And that's the whole point.
It's not we the scientists in control. It's we the people.
That's what my point is by taking you to that. When you look at it, now when he looks at and he starts talking the consensus, you have to say, okay, at what point does the consensus of a predetermined outcome of a move to move us to an agenda-based outcome? The reality is, it switches midstream. It's not like a belief system, like we have 100 people that we're sitting in a room and we're all conversing and we come to what somebody could call a consensus. I would say we come to an agreement because I don't like switching into that mode of saying you have a consensus. Well,
consensus is legally a specific term
it's
in the law.
It's being used in dispute resolution techniques for policy implementation.
And this is how a few hundred people control 2.5-3 million Oregonians
right.
with this policy consensus process.
Takes me to a thing, Bill, that people have to understand. One of the big players in our climate change legislation is a group called Renew Oregon.
Right.
Okay.
Familiar with them.
So now if you go to Renew Oregon, you can see you have several letters available. Right. You have one that is an email thing. So the email goes into the legislative. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at this point, when I printed this off this morning, they had 423 signatures. Their goal was 500. Now, this group represents a huge foundation of other groups.
Okay? SOCAN.
SOCAN, Oregon League of Conservation Voters, Sierra Club, blah, blah, blah. The list goes on and on and on. Okay. But the reality is those are all part of this whole Renew Oregon push. But now, key is their own page tells you 500 signatures is their goal. Now, what that means is a predetermined outcome. The legislative branches, well, we have overwhelming consensus from collaborative support that we have people that want this to go ahead.
But that's 500 people.
That's right.
That's nobody.
That's nobody.
That's nothing.
That's nobody. Now,
but yet that would be used then as part of the we have consensus from Renew Oregon.
That's right.
Which, of course, represents all of these gangrene.
That's exactly right.
So this is how they fake people out,
now,
that there's much more support for what they push than there really is.
Right. And where I want to take you with this is there's another one that's on that site also. It's called the student sign-up letter. Okay? And basically it's... You know, a whole letter that you send in from a student's perspective, okay? Now, when you're on that thing, when I look at this, I just get so, you know, upset because these are letters, these are emails. And then I think back to Jeff Golden back in last year at the height of the battle and all of this, after it was over, actually, he said a guest opinion, and he says... their rural districts, they stayed on message and triggered a flow of form emails asking why we wanted to devastate, destroy, decimate rural Oregon.
Huh. Well, okay. That's really funny because they get upset about form letters, the right side sending form letters. But it's okay when SOCAN
it's okay if
goes
they
through
use
Renew Oregon. 500
form emails or letters to do it.
Okay.
It's okay if they do it.
All right.
Because it's the predetermined outcome that Mr. Golden
So you're pointing out the hypocrisy of the predetermined outcome.
That's
okay,
right.
I get that. Now, I've got about 2-3 minutes left, though.
Okay.
So we have to really hit hard on where we fight back on this policy consensus fraud,
that's
which is
exactly
what this really is. This is a fraudulent process that they're still using, just like they were last year.
That's right.
And it is no different. It's just a different year. And they're saying it's even more of an emergency.
But the key point, okay, is that it's not a huge number that we have to overwhelm, but we do have to overwhelm it. We cannot give up. We have to give and empower our legislators. We have to give them incentive to fight for us in any way, shape, or form.
Well, you talk about giving them incentive. What is give incentive, though?
We have to write letters ourselves. Everybody out there, look at what these people are asking for. Their support to the legislature is those 500 that their goal was, emails, letters, and things like that. So now let's look at that and say they're going after our children. They're literally abusing children by lying to them, trying to say, okay, you won't have a life in 12 years. We have to move forward. But we have to stay on point. We have to sit down and write letters. We have to keep going to all of the people involved and write our legislative groups. There was a guy I heard talking the other day, you know, write other legislators, write other people, write everybody in there.
So what we need to be doing is frankly writing the climate church people.
That's right.
We need to be writing Pam Marsh.
That's right.
Senator Golden.
That's right.
All of these other people who have expressed support for this plan to move forward.
And the reality is if Herman is right in what he's saying, he goes to saying, take it to the people. Okay. Take this to the people instead of enforcing it through the legislature. I look at the Supreme Court or the Ninth Circuit opinion on this was take it to the electorate. I look at that and I say, okay, if that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do. I don't want it to go that way. Okay. I don't want it to go anyway.
Because I still look at as the northern part of the state votes to destroy the southern part of the state.
Well, that's the possibility. But if they want it so bad, let them implement it in Portland. Okay. Let them try it out up there. Let them suffer through it. Let them pay the bill if they want it so badly. When I listen and read and I take these things apart, it's disgusting what I see and what I do. There's a group that the team leaders, if I had a few more minutes, the team leaders of what we have with Renew Oregon, you would not believe the background that these people have. These people have backgrounds that...
Oh, Tara Hurst, executive director, before joining, as she served as chief of staff for Charlie Hales, Portland mayor, also worked for the Oregon House Majority Office, chief of staff to Representative General Jennifer Williamson. And let's see, prior to her public service, she worked for a Chevy dealership in South Florida.
Yeah. Now, think about that.
Wow. Bill. Degree in social work from PSU. Yeah. Imagine that. Brad Reed Communications previously worked, groundbreaking clean energy policies such as Oregon's Clean Electricity and Coal Transition Act. Oh, this is one of the people pushing for no power in the wintertime and blackouts,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And he previously worked on the winning campaign to regulate and legalize marijuana.
Right.
And prior, he was also an Emmy Award-winning TV news producer. Okay. And, you know, I'm going to go through these because maybe we'll talk about this over time, all right?
When you look at it and understand it, one of the other people in there is, you know, a key player in the Democratic Party.
Uh-huh. Okay?
And when you start looking at what they've constructed, it's like hand to hand to hand. And it's a flow. It's a stream of money that you cannot, you know, every
And, of course,
part
that's
of
a stream of money that comes out of our pockets
that's
in
right.
Southern Oregon
that's exactly
using
right.
a higher percentage of these fuels.
We have to stay vigilant, and we have to resort to understanding the law and thanking the court for that decision.
All right. And, in fact, we can even mention the fact that the court said it needs to be turned over to the people. Well, obviously, turn it over to the people, then. That's what you want to do.
That's what they have to do.
All right. Then we'll see. 829, Mr. X.
Thank you
very much. This is the Bill Myers Show.